I'd like for you to take your Bibles and turn to, if you would please, Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4, a familiar passage, and one that we're going to be reading just about six or seven verses, and then we'll get in to see what the Lord is going to teach us. We're going to be looking at this. God can calm the storm. Look at verse 35, Mark chapter 4. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, Let us pass over unto the other side. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him, even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship, so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him, and they say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? And he arose and rebuked the wind, and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. And he said unto them, Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye have no faith? And they feared exceedingly, and said one to another, What manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Heavenly Father, I pray that you would guide now as we look into your word. Lord, whoever it is that is listening and watching now or maybe watching later, I pray that this would be a comfort and an encouragement to them. And for those that maybe don't know you, Lord, I pray this would be a time that they look into their heart. They recognize that what we're going through now is nothing compared to what is coming. And now is no better time than to make sure they know you as Savior and that they are on their way to heaven instead of hell. Lord, I pray that the crucified, risen Savior would be lifted up in this time. I pray in Christ's name. Amen. Just before we get into the message, I do want to make this statement. You've got pastors and you've got God's people, for those of you that maybe are watching and you don't know the Lord. You've got pastors and God's people that are praying for you right now. We recognize the uniqueness of this time. Can I please encourage you? Wait through to the end of this message, because I have a special message for you. If you're listening later on and you're just, this is recorded, if you want to go to the end of the message right now, go there now, because it's important. There are only two places that mankind can wind up in eternity. And the Bible is specific. Jesus Christ himself is specific. You need to find out not only where you're headed now, but where you will be headed if you don't listen. You know what I mean. All right. We're going to be looking at, can God calm the storm? I want you to notice, first of all, life's chaos is the Lord's classroom. Now, we at Faith Baptist, we have been going through what God can do. We've looked at the fact that he can make blind eyes see. He can turn night into day. He can turn bondage into freedom. He can turn doubt into assurance. Again, what we're going to be seeing here is that he can calm the storm. You know, two great challenges we're facing our nation just a little over 100 years ago. First of all, there was World War I. But secondly, there was something that a lot of us have forgotten about. There was the Spanish flu, is what it became to be known as. In that time, it's estimated that between 50 million and 100 million people in the world died from the Spanish flu. Now, when you stop and think about this, it's estimated that 500 million, that's one-third of the Earth's population, just a little over, just a hair over 100 years ago, 500 million people got that flu. Now think about that. It devastated Europe and America alike, including soldiers and sailors who were fighting in World War I. In fact, it's estimated that 40% of those in the Navy, in the American Navy, got the flu, 36% of those in the Army, they got the flu during the war. By the way, during this time, schools and churches were shut down, just like today. In 1 year, the death toll was incredible. Stop and think about this. 16 million people died in World War I. By 1919, as I said, 50 to 100 million people had died because of the Spanish flu. In America, 675,000 people died. And that was when our nation only had 103,200,000 in population. In fact, during that time, our nation did not increase in population. Our nation actually decreased by 60,000. And that's in 1918. In fact, the average lifespan for the American in 1918 fell by 12 years because of a combination of World War I and the Spanish flu. For perspective, 675,000 dead. That is more than all the American deaths in all the wars America fought in the 20th century. In October of 1918, 195,000 Americans died. This last week, my wife was privileged to receive some information from her family back in Minnesota. Her grandfather, Fred Formanac, was living in Howard, South Dakota, a small community there in South Dakota in 1918. He was about 35 years old. Mr. Formanac kept not a detailed diary, but he did write in it daily. I want to give you some of the examples from his diary. Now listen to this and think about what we're going through right now. And let's remember, life's chaos is the Lord's classroom. Our God is seeking to speak to us right now. Wednesday, October 16th, nearly everyone is sick with the Spanish grip, and there are great many deaths. All schools and churches are closed on account of the Spanish influenza. October 18th, there were 6 funerals in Howard today. There are many new cases of influenza. October 20th, there was no church today on account of the influenza. Mr. Walter Housen was buried today. Mr. Johnson is dead from the flu. October 22nd, there were 5 funerals in Howard today. October 23rd, there were only 3 funerals in town today from the flu. October 26th, there were three funerals in town today. The 27th, did not go to church as no public gatherings of any kind is allowed to be held on account of the influenza. Remember, this is 1918. October 31st, Turkey has asked for peace and the Allies are making great gains against the Austrians. November 5th, election day, but the banks did not close. The papers announced that Austria has surrendered unconditionally. November 11th, the papers advise us that the Great World War has ended today, that Germany has signed the Allied terms. 19th, so we've covered about a month. The flu seems to be letting up. Still, there are quite a few cases. Sunday, November 24th, the influenza quarantine for Minor County is raised today. Went to Mass. He was a Catholic. This has all happened before. But just like back then, we're learning today. There was a pastor that made mention that there were churches that had scheduled revivals before the influenza hit. But after the influenza and life started getting back to normal, some of the churches canceled the revivals. You know why? The people had already had revival. They were seeking God. You see, God's classroom is life's chaos. We get in the middle of what we're going through right now, and God's people start to seek Him out. Faith Baptist, I hope that and pray that that's exactly what we're doing right now. Let's go back to Mark, and I want us to look at the first verse, if we would please. And the same day, when the even was come, he saith unto them, let us pass over unto the other side. Sorry, I meant to show these pictures about what was going on during the influenza there during 100 years ago. But let's go to this. Listen, point number one, listen to his words when you hear his voice. You see, the fact of the matter is, sometimes God does his work in us by bringing us to another place. We can be in another country. We can wind up in a difficult situation someplace else. We know that from the Jewish people, Israel, during the Old Testament time. They wound up in another place. Eventually, they wound up seeking God. But other times, he simply brings us into another day. And so here we are. We're in another day, and things are so different. Either way, God is there, and he brings us opportunities. Opportunities for what? Opportunities to learn him better. Please remember this. God is never static. Our God is not just sitting up in the heavens, just watching what is taking place. He brought this for a purpose. And we need to understand that we as God's people are part of his purpose. And therefore, he has things that he wants to do to us and through us. Let's not forget that. Remember, words mean things. Words mean things. He said, let us pass over unto the other side. Do you remember in Luke 24, verse 4? Listen to this. And it came to pass, as they were much perplexed thereabout, and this is the disciples when it comes to Christ being resurrected. Behold, two men stood by them in shining garments. And as they were afraid and bowed down their faces to the earth, they said unto them, why seek ye the living among the dead? He is not here, but is risen. Remember how he spake unto you when he was yet in Galilee, saying, the Son of Man must be delivered unto the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and the third day rise again. and they remembered his words. See, this is what's good about getting into God's word now. We mark these things. We listen to these things. What's funny is in my devotions this morning, I read in part Luke chapter 8. It's this same passage. Luke chapter 8. And he's talking about these things. So, by God's grace, let us remember, what has the Lord said? Listen, did you hear his voice when he said this to you? I have called you friends. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. No man can serve two masters. I will not leave you comfortless. Lo, I am with you always. The Lord Jesus has a place he wants to take you. He wants to take us all. Now let's go to verse 36 again. And when they had sent away the multitude, they took him even as he was in the ship, and there were also with him other little ships. My wife and I, when we were in Israel, we had a tremendous time. And we will never forget the night we were staying in a hotel right there on the shore of the Sea of Galilee. In fact, the last night that we were there, there was a storm. And I'm telling you, it was just great to go through. Now, the Sea of Galilee is quite interesting. It goes by 13 miles long, 7 miles wide, but it's 150 feet deep. The shoreline is 680 feet below sea level. There are mountains off over to the west, and the wind would come over and they would sweep down. You could have a calm sea, and suddenly there's a storm. That's it. It can be calm 1 minute, and very much moving the next in a storm. So these men did not set out in a storm. They set out because Jesus said, let's go to the other side. Second, I want you to see this. Challenge your perspectives with the Lord's realities. The Lord's realities. This is what I mean. And what we're about to read, you're going to see two questions. Please follow what takes place. Look at verse 37. And there arose a great storm of wind, and the waves beat into the ship so that it was now full. And he was in the hinder part of the ship, asleep on a pillow, and they awake him and say unto him, Master, carest thou not that we perish? Now, consider this. You tell me, what did the disciples see and what Jesus wanted? The storm comes. Now they're in a panic. And they go to the Lord and they say, you know, carest thou not that we perish? Think about this. This is how the disciples responded. Panic. How did the Lord respond? The Lord responded with peace. Well, of course he did. God, yes. And he was with the disciples. And remember what Jesus told us? Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end. Remember his words. Several of these men were fishermen. They were mariners. They knew the water. They knew how to navigate it. But suddenly, what had been what we call today a comfort zone became a death trap. That's not a good sign. A man in a storm, remember this, a man in a storm and his reactions in the time of that crisis will show where his faith lies. So folks, we've got to realize this. This is a time that demands growth in God's people. The world is out there, and I feel so sorry for some of them. They're getting ready to go through great difficulty. Oh, that they knew our God. Oh, that we knew our God better. Now is a great time for that to happen. The disciples knew the dangers of a storm there. It would not be good. On this night, it would drive them to a crisis of faith. They got on their journey a little way across and thinking that maybe an hour and a half, they were going to be there. Not going to happen. The storm comes. They're stunned. The sails are lowered. The oars come out. They've got to force their way through. Except, even with them pulling together, they were losing. I like what somebody said one time. Somewhere between ho-hum Christianity and great faith is a storm. Somewhere between panic-filled life and powerful life is you and Jesus in a storm. Somewhere between gut-wrenching, sleep-stealing trouble and what God wants you to become is your ship of life out of control and in great danger. We need to remember that. There's another question that is going to be coming, and I want you to notice that. But first of all, let's go to our last point. Let your second fear become your first fear. Look at verse 39. And he arose and rebuked the wind and said unto the sea, Peace, be still. And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. Look at verse 40. And he said unto them, here's our next question. Why are ye so fearful? How is it that ye had no faith? Verse 41. And they feared exceedingly and said one to another, what manner of man is this, that even the wind and the sea obey him? Now, please follow me. We need to walk away from this with an understanding that will change our perspectives to his perspective. It was God who created the storm. It was God who controlled the storm. It was God who calmed the storm. You see, I believe in a sovereign God. Why? Because the Bible teaches a sovereign God. I believe a God that is in control. He knows the end from the beginning. Stop and think about it. There is reason for what is taking place now. Do you know we've been praying for revival? Christian, what better time than for God's people to lay aside the weights and the besetting sins and to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith? Would we go through this with joyful hearts if we recognized that God in this brings revival? What stands between that? That and revival. It's us maybe thinking this, well, I'm not sure that's where I want to go. It better be, because our God is on his way to stirring people's hearts. Your heart might not be stirred that much, but did you ever stop to think that you might have a next door neighbor that is terrified right now? You might have somebody living across the street from your house that is just aching and asking, what is going on? What a time to be salt and light. Amen? Let's continue. So you stop and consider. We've got 13 men in a boat. One was asleep. Four, they were accomplished sailors. The others, They're just sitting back and they're watching what's happening. They're probably not really worried about that. Because, you know, these guys, they'll know how to take care of everything. You know, Peter and the boys, they'll get us out of it. And all of a sudden it's grab the oars, we're in trouble. You know, sometimes we treat the church like that. If the pastor's doing okay, everything is good. Everything comfortable? Sure. If everything else is just kind of running smoothly and, oh, by the way, the stock market is growing and my 401k is looking fine and, oh, I know about the sin that's going on, but everything is continuing as it has. You know, there's no real need for me to get involved. Let me tell you what God's people are doing and what more of God's people ought to be doing. God's people are praying. There are people that are fasting. We have enough of the Spirit. We ought to be seeking Him out. We ought to be pleasing the Lord at this time because He's given us a special time. You know, what is needed is for a storm just like this to rattle things. I hate to say it. I'm not wishing for people to die. I'm not wishing for people to lose their jobs. But in order to get some people stirred, God has to do this. There are people that are talking today about martial law, about the military taking over if the nation, if the government collapses. You've probably been online and seen some really outlandish things, maybe. Listen, this is exactly what this is. It's a time for God to work. It's a time for God's people to recognize His work. Stop and think about this. Jacob had the birthright. He took it from his brother. But it took his mother, excuse me, it took his brother threatening murder to motivate him to use it. Joseph had dreams, but it took a band of brutal brothers to put him in a place that was not pleasant at all, and yet God used it. Moses had to be sent to the backside of the desert for 40 years before God could prepare him to do that incredible work that he did. Nehemiah needed to build a wall, but it was the opposition of Tobiah and Sanballat that motivated him the most. You know, there comes a point in time, where we need to grow beyond daddy's faith, mommy's faith, brother's faith, pastor's faith, somebody else's faith. Because it's storms that bring the need for greater faith. Somebody said this one day, some of the greatest hymns ever sung were penned in the strange, distant country called suffering. You read the history of the song, "It Is Well With My Soul," you'll know exactly what I mean. Two observations about our storms. It is what happens after or in the adversity that counts. It's what happens after or in the adversity that counts. One man has said that it is not so much what happens to us, but what happens in us. That's important. You ask the Lord to work? He will. He promised. And He will do it. The disciples first feared the power of the creation and its power to destroy. Now they feared the Creator and His power to control. That's what I mean. Take your second fear, the fear of God, make that your first fear. Make that. We want to see the Master Teacher's almighty power. We want to see him work. But to see it, we need to remember it so often. It so often comes, I should say, while we're in the storm. And right now, that's exactly where we're at. As somebody else has said, if you want the sun to stand still, you will first find yourself in a fierce fight. If you want the miracle of manna, you'll think you may starve first. To see the fire fall from heaven, you'll first be surrounded and threatened by doubt and unbelief. If you want to experience the birds feeding you, you may find yourself on the run from a mad queen. If you want the axe head to float in the water, you will have to first lose it in the pond and be helpless to get it back. If you want to reign in newness of life with the king, you must first die with him on the cross. And when you see the Savior work, and you will, and he will, let that event bring you to your knees in worship and awe. With all that is going on in the world, there will be storms. We're in the middle of one right now. With that, I want to encourage you to do this. Remember, listen to his words when you hear his voice. You open up your Bible and you read it. Listen to what he's saying. Listen as the Holy Spirit speaks to you. Secondly, challenge your perspectives with the Lord's realities. After all, he is with us. And then thirdly, let your second fear become your first fear. I made mention at the beginning that I was hoping and praying that those that don't know the Lord would wait until this time. You know, you've got God's people praying for you. Those that are in this room right now, they're praying for you. Friend, I want you to understand something. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you don't know where you're going to go when you die, please hear me out. The Bible says, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. There's none righteous, no not what? No not one. Romans chapter 6, verse 23. For the wages, a wage is what you earn. For the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God, different word, the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. In Romans chapter 10, Paul wrote, that if thou shalt confess, the word confess means to say the same thing as. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. If you don't know Christ as your Savior, if you're not sure, please, please, I beg of you, take the time right now. Go to him in prayer. Lord, I know that you died for me on the cross. I know that you love me. Because John 3:16 tells me, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Now the word believe means to place your reliance upon. You're believing what God said he would do for you. So, you go from there and you continue in prayer. Lord, I'm trusting you, and that's important. I'm trusting you and you alone to save me. Not trusting my works, because the Bible says not by works of righteousness which we have done, but according to his mercy he saved us. Baptism doesn't save you. Baptism is an outward act. It's an outward sign of what has taken place inwardly. Church membership doesn't save you. Continue in prayer. Lord, I'm trusting you to save me. Come into my life. Lord, thank you for loving me so much. I am trusting you to save me from hell. I'm trusting you. I am giving you my life right now. I'm asking you to be Lord of my life. Friend, if you've done that, the Bible says, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. If you don't know, do what I just said. Go to our website, myfbt.org. You can see from there how to know Christ as your Savior. For those of you that are with Faith Baptist, you don't know how much my heart hurts right now. We would love to be with you. I am so thankful to your faithfulness, for your faithfulness.